Brother Flowers, who has done a great job last week. He became a Christian when he was 10. Huh? And as Brother Gilbert was reminding me, quite a lot of the young men that have grown out to be young adults in the congregation here, Eddie, Selvin, for people like Selvin and others can name them, they became Christian when they were 12, 13, 14, and now they are sort of stalwart in Christ business. Anyway, Brother Pounds is here. Brother Pounds is from Winter Haven. He's married, have 3 children, and has done his study at Harding Theological School, preaching for about 20 years. He gave us a great lesson this morning. And he used the blackboard. For me, that's a good sign. So, Brother Pounds, we ask that you come now in your own way and share with us God's word.
I appreciate so much the invite to come and to share with you my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm grateful to the saints who are here, and Brother Mitchell, and all those brothers who work with him. I just appreciate so much the opportunity to come and share with you my faith in Jesus Christ. Tonight, this is absolutely awesome tonight to see this many faces on a Sunday. We usually don't get this many folk on Sunday night back home. And so this is absolutely awesome to see this many saints and individuals who've come for the purpose of hearing, is there a word from the Lord? And so we're grateful for you for your attendance tonight. And we're grateful for you for coming and with your heart open. Because there is no greater thing in the world than the Bible, the Word of God. And what we must do, we must study God's Word in order for us to know what it is God will have us to know and to do while we travel this time side of eternity. We ought to be just like David was in Psalms 23 when David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy." I said all of that to get to this one point. He said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I believe if the Lord has been good to you, you ought to stay in the Lord's house. And we're going to study tonight. I want you to come with me tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're just going to look at 2 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll look at verses 1 and verse number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and verse number 2.
Paul.
The Bible says Paul.
Called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ.
Called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ.
Through the will of God.
Through the will of God.
And Sosthenes.
And Sosthenes.
His brother.
Our brother. Come on.
Unto the church of God which is at Corinth.
That's what we're going to talk about tonight. I want to talk about tonight the church. We're going to use this as a case study. We're going to talk about the church. Get me a writer. Mark of that right. So we're gonna talk about the church, and I want you to look at this tonight because of the fact this is most important. I feel that we're gonna look at the church, and we're gonna use a case study. Thank you, my brother. And we're gonna use a case study in regards to the Lord's church that we might be able to fully understand clearly in regards to the Lord's church. And there's no greater topic I love to talk about than the Lord's church. Because it is so important, my friend, because we got to understand that we're living in a world of religious indifference. We're living in times where people will tell you that the church really doesn't make a difference. And that one church is just as good as another. Well, if you're talking about two denominations, then you're right. But when you're talking about the church of Christ, no other church is like the Lord's church. And so I want us to look tonight. We're going to study tonight. I'm not going to try to be too long tonight. I love Brother Mitchell. Brother Mitchell, just preach as long as you want to. I like that. But we got a lot of ground to cover, but I'm not going to try to hold you all night long. I want to look at tonight. We're going to look at the church and how do we identify the church of Christ? Because Jesus did declare, upon this rock I will build my church. And in fact, we know he built the church. Because the Bible says in Acts 2:47, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. We know it was built because the Lord was adding the same to the church. And so therefore, we have to be able to identify the Lord's church. And I want you to see that there are some marks of identification by which and through which we can identify whether or not we're in the church that Jesus built. And so there are some marks of identification. We're going to look at these marks tonight. We're going to look at the idea of the name or the designation. We're going to look at number two, the founder. We're going to look at number three. We're going to look at, in regards to that church, we're going to look at the idea, the worship. We're going to look at this particular church, and we're going to look at, in regards to the organization, time permitting. And then we're going to look at number five. We're going to look at how does one, we're going to look at the entrance, or how does one become a member of the Lord's church. And I think these things are crucial. And as we go through this study, you're going to understand that these things have to line up. Because if they don't line up, then you are not in the church that Jesus built. Well, the first thing I want to look at here tonight is in the verse number 2 of our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2. The Bible says that it is the church of God. Now, some people say, well, Brother Pounds, you all keep saying the church of Christ. But the Bible says the church of God. Okay. Well, the church of God is the church of Christ.
That's right.
I'm going to prove that tonight. I said the church of God is the church of Christ. First, come on, brothers. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. We're going to go to Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. In the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. Let's look at what the Bible says. In Acts 20 and verse number 28, Paul was talking to those Ephesian elders. And Paul says, take heed therefore
unto yourselves and to all the flock,
over the which
the Holy Ghost has made you
overseers
to feed the church of God which he has purchased
with his own blood. Amen. The Bible said the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, the God that has the blood is the God that has the church. The only thing we have to do, find the God that had the blood. We'll know the God that had the church. Well, you got to understand this word God, and I'm trying to be careful. I don't want to fall off here. If I fall, though, I promise you, I'll still be preaching. I'll be on the ground, hurt, injured, but I'll still be preaching. Now, and when it comes down to God, G-O-D, that is the family name. And that's why we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yeah, get your Bible, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 8. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 8, we see where God the Father called God the Son God. Because God is the family name. Watch what the Bible says. Now, Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 8, listen to the Bible.
But unto the Son, he said,
God said,
Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever.
So, therefore, God is the family name. Well, when it comes down to God, we're trying to find which God has the blood. Well, we know it's not God the Father, because the Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse number 24, the Bible said that God is spirit. And because God is spirit, there's something we know about a spirit. Well, what do we know about a spirit? Go to Luke chapter 24. In the book of Luke chapter 24 and around verse number 47. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 47. Watch what the Bible, where the Bible says. I'm looking for my reader. I still haven't found him. I'm looking for him, though. I'm looking for him. All right. There he is. Oh, I'm looking over here for you, my brother. Our brother William. I'm looking all over there. All right. Luke 24:47. What does the Bible say?
And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name.
All right. That's not what I want. In Luke chapter, that, see, Brother Webb, I should have left you alone, Brother Webb. In Luke chapter 23, I'm sorry, Luke 24, that's what I said. I didn't say Luke 24. And verse number 39. Yeah, y'all should have read my mind. Verse number 39. I don't know what y'all looking at. Luke 24:39. All right, watch what the Bible says.
Behold my
now,
hand.
Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus said, behold my hands
and my feet.
And my feet.
That it is I that myself.
Jesus said, that is I myself.
Handle, come on, read.
Handle me.
And see.
And see.
For a spirit hath not flesh and bones.
Now Jesus said, a spirit does not have flesh
and bones.
And bones.
As
well, why is that important? A spirit doesn't have flesh. Well, the Bible said God the Father is spirit. So since God the Father is spirit, that means he doesn't have flesh. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse number 11. In the book of Leviticus chapter 17, Old Testament, Leviticus 17 and verse number 11, listen to the Bible.
For the life of the flesh.
For the life of the flesh
is in the blood.
The Bible said life of the flesh is in the blood. In other words, those who have flesh have blood. But since God the Father doesn't have flesh, he doesn't have blood. And in order to purchase the church, the God that purchased the church, he purchased it with his blood. So we know that can't be God the Father. Let's find the God that had flesh. In John chapter 1. In St. John chapter 1. Alright, wait for me. Wait for me. Around verse number 14. Because John 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word.
Yeah.
And the Word was with God, and the Word
was
God. Drop down to verse number 14, and the Bible says,
And the Word was made flesh.
Was made flesh.
And dwelt among
us. And the Word dwelt among us. Who was that? That is Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 18. The Bible says,
For as much
as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible... I'm waiting on you, my brother. I'm waiting on you.
With corruptible
things. With corruptible things.
As silver
and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition
from your fathers,
but with the precious
blood of Christ
as of a lamb
without spot or blemish.
So the Bible helps us understand that the God that had the blood is Jesus Christ. And so when the Bible said the church of God, we know which God is talking about. That God is Jesus Christ. And another thing. We call it the Church of Christ because that's the name. That's the designation. Now, some people say, well, Brother Pounds, I hear you, but they don't believe. Some folk don't believe that the Bible names the church. Well, I stop by, I beg to differ. I believe it does. It does name the church. Well, let's just look at a couple of scriptures, if y'all don't mind. The Bible said, first of all, go to St. John chapter 18. St. John chapter 18 and verse number 36. And then I need another brother. They go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 5. And then I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 26. And then I'm going to go to Romans chapter 7 and verse number 4. I'm going back to Matthew 26 and verse number 27. Then I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 14. If you can't write that fast, that's okay. It's downloaded in my mind. I got it tonight. All right, first of all, watch this now. The Bible says in the first scripture, John chapter 18 and verse number 36. Watch what the Bible says.
Jesus answered. My kingdom.
Don't miss this now. Jesus says, my kingdom. Now, I want you to watch this now because in the Bible, there is a principle. whenever something is claimed, at the same time is named. I say, whenever something is claimed, at the same time is named. If my wife came, we've been married, Sister Pounds and I, 30 years, been married 30 years. This year be 31 years we've been married. If I brought my wife with me and she was able to make it on this trip, I wouldn't have to tell you what's her name. The only thing I have to tell y'all, that's my wife. You wouldn't walk up to her and ask her what's her name. When I told you she's my wife, at the same time I told you her name. Because when I claimed her, at the same time I named her. I know some women don't like that, but that's all right. It's still all right. It's all right anyhow. All right? Because that's in the Bible. That's not in my text, but that's in the Bible. Because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 2, the Bible said God called their name Adam. He was talking about Adam and Eve. He called their name Adam. What was Eve's name? Eve Adam. What was Adam's name? Adam Adam. Amen. All right now. So the Bible said now in John 18:36, Jesus makes a claim. Jesus says, my kingdom. Well, since Jesus claimed the kingdom, what was the name of the kingdom? Bible says, now let's go. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 5. Watch the Bible. Ephesians 5 verse number 5.
For this ye know. That no whoremonger. Nor unclean person. Nor covetous man.
Come on and read.
Who is an idolater.
Go on and read.
Hath an any inheritance in all the right. kingdom of
Christ. Now watch what he said. He said, the Bible says, my kingdom is the kingdom of Christ. He named it, and it was called the kingdom of Christ. All right, go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse number 26.
And as they were
eating.
Jesus took bread.
And
blessed it.
And broke it.
And gave it to the disciples. And said.
Take.
Eat. This is my body.
Watch this now. He said, this is.
My body.
He claims the body. Mm-hmm. Since he claimed the body, what's the name of the body? Romans chapter 7 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 4, the Bible says,
Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. By the body of Christ. That ye.
Look at what we have. Kingdom of Christ. My body. Body of Christ. Let's go to Matthew 26. Look at verse number 27. And then go to Hebrews 9 and verse number 14. All right. Go to read. Matthew 26, 27.
And he took the cup.
And
gave thanks.
And
break it.
And say it.
Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood.
Don't miss this now. He said, this is
my blood.
He claims the blood. Since he claimed the blood, what's the name of the blood? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 14. The Bible says,
how much more shall the blood of Christ?
That's all I need. How much more shall the blood of Christ? Look at what we have, church. He said, Jesus said, my kingdom, it was called the kingdom of Christ. Jesus said, my body is the body of Christ. Jesus said, my blood is the blood of Christ. So when Jesus said, I'll build my church, what else can you call it but the church of Christ? Well, just in case that ain't enough, I brought a whole lot of scriptures with me here, y'all. Let's go to the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 16 and verse number 14. I'll show you this principle again, that whenever something is claimed, at the same time, is named. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 14. Watch what the Bible says.
And a certain woman
named Lydia,
a seller of purple
of the city of Thyatira,
which worshipped God.
She worshipped God. Come on.
She heard us. Whose heart the Lord opened. She attended unto the things. Which were spoken by Paul.
Come on and read.
And when Lydia was baptized.
And her household.
She besought us.
Saying,
if ye have judged me to be faithful
to the Lord. If you judge me to be faithful to the Lord.
Come into my house.
Don't miss this now. Lydia said, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house. Now, don't miss it now. She claims the house. Since she claimed the house, what was the name of the house? Drop down to verse number 40. Look at verse number 40. What does the Bible say?
And they went out
And they went out
of the prison.
Of the prison.
And entered into the house of Lydia.
That's all I need. They went into the house of Lydia. She said, my house, it was the house of Lydia. When Jesus said, my kingdom, kingdom of Christ. Jesus said, my body, body of Christ. Jesus said, my blood, blood of Christ. So when Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. What else can you call it but the church of Christ? And so therefore the name is important. I got to hurry. The name is important. And then not only that, but the founder, the one who founded the church. So we see right there in the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse number 11, the Bible says, though the foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I don't have time, but Isaiah chapter 28, the Bible talks about in prophecy. Isaiah says that God was going to lay in Zion a stone, a tried stone. He said a sure foundation. And so therefore he talked about that foundation. And we recognize that that stone that he talked about was the same stone that Peter talks about in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 10. That same stone that was set at naught by your builders. But God had made that same stone the headstone of the corner. And neither, Acts 4:12, is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And so the founder, the one, look at the one, who's the founder of the religion you're in? If it was not founded by Jesus, then that's not the church that Jesus built. And somebody said, is that important? Yes, the church is important. Because my friend, the church is so important to the Bible that Jesus died for one church. It's so important, he's going to come back for one church. And you got to be in that church if you want to be saved. And then my friend, I gotta hurry tonight. Well, in regards to the name, the founder, but let's look at something else, worship. Let's look at the worship. Now, you got to understand something about worship and listen to me good. My friend, all over this beautiful place of Jamaica, today, people went to some religious service. And you got to understand this. When people go to religious service, they worship. They worship. People all over this beautiful place, they worship. But you got to understand, just because you worship, doesn't mean God will accept your worship. Because I want you to understand this now. Because there are different types of worship. So a person said, I went to worship. All right, that's good. But the question becomes, what kind of worship were you involved in? Because see, the Bible tells us that there's at least four types of worship. Well, let's look at, let's go to the Bible. That's all I got, y'all. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone with the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Go to Matthew 15. Go to Matthew 15 and verse number 8. We're going to go to Matthew 15 and verse number 8. Then we're going to go to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 23. Then we're going to go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 23. And I'm going to come back to Acts chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. All right, the first scripture I call for, let's look at Matthew 15 and verse number 8. In Matthew 15 and verse number 8, listen to Jesus.
But in vain they do worship me.
Jesus says, in vain they worship me,
teaching
for doctrine, for their doctrine,
the commandment of men.
Jesus says that you have individuals who have for their doctrine the commandments of men. And Jesus said, therefore, their worship. They are trying to worship me, but it's vain. What does vain mean? Vain means empty. Vain means useless. It didn't mean that they did not go to some service, but the problem is it was useless. It was vain. God did not accept it. You may have been there all day long, but if you don't do what God said, like God said it, then, my friend, the Bible said it's vain. So we have what we have. Number one, we see vain. We see vain worship. And then in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 23, Paul, there on Mars Hill, Paul tells them, as I passed by,
and beheld,
I beheld
your devotion.
Your devotion.
I found an altar with this
inscription. I found an altar with this inscription.
To the unknown God.
To the unknown God.
Whom you therefore
ignorantly
worship.
Paul says that they were worshiping, but it was ignorant.
Yes.
It was ignorant worship. Well, the word ignorant, the root word of ignorant is the word ignore. They ignored what God wanted. You got a lot of people today trying to worship God, but they are ignoring what God says. The Bible says, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 23. Colossians 2 and verse number 23. Watch what the Bible says.
Which things have indeed a shoe of wisdom.
A wisdom.
In will worship.
In, you see, the Bible says will. The Bible says there is a thing called will. What is will worship? That's self-imposed. You got people, what they're doing, they ignore what God says to impose what they want to do. And that worship is vain. Whenever you won't do what God told you to do, then that worship is vain. Well, and then thank God there is one more worship. And the Bible said it's true worship. Wish I had time to deal with this. The Bible says in John 4, 23 and verse 24, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such. Wish I had time. The Father seeketh such. I wish I had time to deal with this. The Father is looking for us. When it's time for worship, God looks for us. He seeketh such to worship Him. For God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, God looks for us to worship. This is interesting because He looks for us. God is so good to us. He shows up for us. You got up this morning not because of the fact you are so healthy. Because all of us at this moment are sick enough to die. You got up this morning because of the goodness of God. There's a lot of folk got up but couldn't stay up. There's a lot of people woke up this morning but they're gone now. And the only reason you're still alive is because God has been good to you. I said, God is a mighty good God. Driving through the streets of Jamaica, God's been good to you. I said, oh yeah, He's been good to you. A couple of times I wanted to scream, but God's been good to you. Because, you know, in the United States, we drive on the other side of the road. And the steering wheel is on the other side. So, you know, it's a little culture shock. Where, you know, when you come to Jamaica, you see everything's different. And y'all drive fast, too. Y'all believe in getting where you're going. And that's all right. That's all right with me. Just help me to pray more. I just pray more since I've been here. But we are alive today because of the goodness of God. God has been mighty good to us. And listen, church, He shows up for us. Watching over you. Go about your busy day, God shows up for you. I said your children and your grandchildren go away and God safely brings them back home. He watches over you. He shows up for you. And if God can show up for us when it's time for Him to receive some praise and some honor, we ought to show up for Him. We ought to show up for God. Because God is worthy. That's what worship is all about. It's the worthiness of God. And we come together because God is worthy. Yeah, He's worthy of our worship. I got to hurry. Got to hurry tonight. Now, in regards to the idea of worship. Now, we talked about this. Now, when we get down to true worship, is composed. There are five expressions. There are five expressions of worship. Because worship is all about God. It's all about the idea that man, the idea of we love God. It's a kiss to a proskuneo. We kiss toward God. We love Him. We let Him know how much we adore Him. We show appreciation to God. Betrayal, the acts that we do. Too many words to give you all here tonight. But worship is all about the idea, church, of us showing our admiration and our adoration to God. We love Him, church, not because of what He does for us. We just love God because of who He is. He's God. And He's God all by Himself. He doesn't need us. But the Lord knows we sure enough need Him. And we worship Him because God is, that's why we call Him Reverend. We call God Reverend. And that's why no man is a Reverend. Ooh, I don't have time. That's not in my lesson here tonight. But see, Reverend means awesome. Who else is awesome but God? I know God is awesome. Because God spoke to nothing when there was nothing to speak to. And nothing became something. He took the something that came from nothing and threw it out in nowhere when there was nowhere to throw it, and nowhere became somewhere. I know God is. I know He's awesome. He just spoke. And a world came into existence. He just spoke. And land came up from the water. He just spoke. Green grass covered the hills. He just spoke. And the rams took to the hills, and the valleys bowed their head, and mountains stood at attention. God just spoke. That's how awesome God is. And that's why we call Him Reverend. And no man is reverend. That's God's name. Psalm 111 in verse number 9, the Bible says, He sent redemption unto His people. He commanded His covenant forever, holy and reverend. That's His name. We got to be mindful, church. No man is a reverend. That's God's name. And another thing, no woman is a reverend. Oh, I'm going to deal with that before I leave here. I gotta deal with women preachers, because, you see, whenever you have sorry men, women will take over. I better move on to something else. True worship. What does true worship involve? Well, first of all, when it comes down to identifying the worship of the church, we see right there in 1 Corinthians, in regards to worship, first of all, I want you to see that they had preaching. When it comes down to New Testament worship, what we find the church at Corinth did, they had preaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 18, we see they had preaching. I know they had preaching because Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you, first of all, which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So I know they had preaching. They had preaching. And when a man preached, you cannot preach whatever you want to preach. Paul told Timothy, he said, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, I charge thee therefore before God. Every preacher that belongs to God, they have a charge. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and kingdom. What shall we preach? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, but not to me only, but to all them that love His appearing. What we have to learn, my friends, you have to preach the word. If ever there's a time, my friend, the word needs to be preached, that time is right now. The Bible says now, the church at Corinth, that they had preaching. They had preaching going on. But then, not only that, but I need to tell you that they were singing. And they were singing without instrumental music. They were singing without instrumental music. Let's run through the Bible real fast. I hope you don't mind. Let's run through the Bible. Let's find this word sing. The Bible says in Matthew 26 and verse number 30, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. The Bible said, Acts chapter 16, verse number 25, the Bible said, about midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 9, the Bible says, I will declare thy name unto the Gentiles, I will sing praise unto your name. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 15, I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalm, hymn, and spiritual songs, singing. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalm, hymn, and spiritual song, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 12, in the midst of the church will I sing praise. James chapter 5, verse number 13, if any among you marry, let him sing. Look at what we have. Song, sing, sing. Singing, singing, sing, sing. You can't get play in there to save your life. A person belongs in sing, sing, trying to put play in there when the Bible says we're to sing. We got to be mindful, do exactly what the Bible says. We're to sing. Sing. A, at the cross where my Savior died. B, blessed be the tie that binds. C, come we that love the Lord. D, down at the cross. E, he's everything to me. F, Father alone, we'll know all about it. G, God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. H, heaven holds all of me. I love my Savior too. J, just a little talk with Jesus will make it all right. K, King Jesus will roll all burdens away. L, love lifted me. M, mansion, robe, and crown. N, no, not one. O, open wide thine arms of love. P, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Q, quiet like, still someday. R, revive us again. S, send the light, that blessed gospel light. T, trials dark on every hand. U, we'll understand it better by and by. V, victory in Jesus. W, what can wash away my sin? X, his glory is exalted. Y, yield not to temptation. Z, Zion, Zion, we're marching to Zion. And when we sing, we ought to do what God told us to do. I got to hurry. I got to hurry tonight. We got to preach. We got to sing. And then we pray. And we pray to God. We pray to God. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 15. They sang and they prayed. And then not only that, but then we got to be mindful, church, that we have to commune. We have to commune. Now, when it comes down to communion, we recognize it is a memorial service where we remember Jesus. That was some years ago. That was we had a Bible study with this gentleman. I didn't know at the time he was a denominational preacher. And he invited us over to his house. And we went over to the man's house. And we were sitting there studying with him. And he said, I got some questions I want to ask you. He said, y'all members of the Church of Christ, he says, do y'all take communion? I thought that was an interesting question. I'm trying to help him to be saved. He would ask, do we take communion? And I said, well, yes, sir, we take communion. He said, well, how often do y'all take communion? I said, well, Acts chapter 20, verse number 7, we learn by example, they take it upon the first day of the week. And Acts 27, very powerful. Bible says, but we know when to take it, we know who took it, and we know why they took it. All that's answered in Acts 20, verse number 7. And so he says, let me ask you a question. He says, what do y'all use? The question is getting more and more strange. He said, what do y'all use when you all observe the Lord's Supper? I said, well, we use unleavened bread. He said, that's right. And then he says, well, what else do you use? I said, we use grape juice in regards to the blood of Christ. He said, that's wrong. I said, that's wrong. He said, yeah, that's wrong. He said, what y'all ought to be doing, y'all should be taking the unleavened bread and water. I like bread and water. We're not in prison. I'll try to figure out just where was he going with this. And he said, because when Jesus was pierced in the side, out of his side came out blood and water. And the water represents blood. I said, no, no, sir. I said, you got a bad case of misunderstanding. I said, no, sir. I said, what you missed is, you got to go back to when Jesus, when he authorized the taking of the Lord's Supper. What you're talking about is what Jesus was already dead. He was dead already, and the soldier pierced him in the side, and that's how we come in contact with the blood of Jesus. It is through baptism. We are baptized into his death, and in his death, he shed his blood. And so therefore, I say, you got to go back to Matthew 26, and let's look at that again. Go to Matthew 26, and verse number 26, let's see what ought to be in the cup. Because whatever ought to be in the cup, the Bible ought to tell us what's in that cup. Let's see whether or not what's in that cup. Now, in Matthew 26, in verse number 26, listen to the Bible. Go ahead and read.
And as they were eating.
As they were eating.
Jesus took bread.
Jesus took bread.
And blessed it.
Blessed the bread.
And broke it.
Broke the bread.
And gave it to the disciples.
Gave it to the disciples.
And said.
Take.
Eat. This is my body.
This is my body. Come on.
And he took the cup.
Watch it. Now, this is what we're talking about. He took the cup.
And gave thanks.
Gave thanks for the cup.
And gave it to them.
Gave the cup to them.
Saying. Drink ye all of it.
All of you.
For this
participate in the cup. Nobody can drink for you. He was not teaching just drink out of one cup. I told the folk back home, if y'all want to drink out of one cup, that's fine, as long as I drink first. I don't know where folk lips are being. Help me, somebody. Help me. But no, he was saying everybody has to participate. You cannot drink for somebody else. Drink ye all of it. And the Bible says, come on.
For this is my blood.
Watch this now. What's in the cup, he said, this is my blood. Very interesting. In the Greek construct, he's saying, this blood is my blood. Whatever is in the cup, it has to be blood. Amen. Whatever's in the cup. Whatever we drink on Sunday, it has to be blood. This blood is my blood. Come on and read, sir. Come on.
Of the New Testament.
Of the New Testament.
Which is shed for,
shed for many.
For the remission.
Or remission of sin. Come on.
But I say unto you.
But I say unto you.
I will not drink henceforth.
I will not drink henceforth.
Of this fruit of the vine.
Now whatever's in the cup is blood from a fruit that grows on a vine. Now, the only thing we have to do tonight is find the fruit that grows on the vine that has blood. And if we can find the fruit that grows on the vine that has blood, we'll know what we ought to be taking every Sunday. Let's go to the Bible. In the book of Song of Solomon. Let's go Old Testament. Song of Solomon chapter 2. And the verse is number 15. And then I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 49. And verse number 11. In the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse number 15. Watch what the Bible says.
Take off the foxes.
Come on and read.
The little foxes.
The little foxes.
That spoil the vine.
That spoil the vine.
For our vines have,
for our vines have tender grapes. Come on. For our watch this now. For our vines have tender grapes. We found a fruit that grow on a vine. Our vines have tender grapes. Grapes grow on a vine. But the question now, does grapes have blood? Genesis 49 and verse number 11. Watch what the Bible says. Genesis 49, 11. The Bible says.
Binding his foal unto the vine.
Yes.
And his ass colt.
Yes.
Unto the choice vine.
To the choice vine.
He washed his garments in wine.
He washed his garments in wine.
And his clothes.
And his clothes.
In the blood of
grapes. In the blood of grapes. Right. I stopped by to say, I know we do the right thing. Because whatever we do in the Lord's church, it has to be according to the Bible, the word of God. The Bible said the blood of the grapes. So therefore we know a grape grows on the vine and a grape has blood. And so therefore what we take for communion, my friend, it must be according to the Bible, the word of God. And so therefore, my friend, what we see when it comes down to communion, we got to do exactly what the Bible told us to do. And then, my friend, there has to be giving. We got to give. You know, we call this, truth be told, we call this giving. And really, that's a misnomer. Because everything we have belongs to God. How can you give God that which is already His? So the question is not how much should I give. It's really how much does the Lord allow me to keep? Because the Bible said in Psalm 24 and verse number 1 that the earth is the Lord's. Not only is the earth the Lord's, but the fullness, whatever the earth produces, that's His too. Everything belongs to Him. And we ought to be privileged to the fact that that we can actually, our church, God blesses us so much that He allows us to be able to put something in the offering. And we ought to consider that a great blessing because, see, God only allows us to be stewards of that which is already His. And when you are a faithful steward, God will continue to bless you if you've been faithful over the little that He's given you. God can't bless somebody who's stingy. A stingy person's hands is always closed. God says to us now, if we would just give, if we would just do what God told us to do, God said, I want to bless you. God said, I want to bless you. I want to bless you in a mighty way. But I can't bless you if you don't do what I told you to do. And that's why, church, the Bible, don't have to, ooh, that's not in my text. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 37, ooh, that's not in my text. But the Bible said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. You see, God blesses us through other people. Don't you realize your blessings come through other people? God can bless somebody else to be a blessing to you. Your paycheck didn't drop down from heaven. That came from another person. And another thing, this is not in my lesson, but y'all look like y'all interested. Some folks say, well, you know, Brother Pounds, I can't give because I got to pay these other bills. But you got to understand this. When we come down to the offering, we put God first. You give God His first. So God can bless the rest. Now, if you pay your car note, you pay your light bill, you pay your water bill, you got to be mindful. You're paying people. I said, because if when you pay your light bill, you're paying people. If you don't believe me, don't pay it. It's going to be a person who's going to cut your power off. You cannot put people ahead of God. And so what God wants us to do is put Him first. That's what the Bible still says in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things shall be added. God says they'll add. Now that's powerful. God does adding. You see, man joins, but God adds. You see, because when God adds, nobody can un-add what God has added. You can't subtract what God adds. You see, your children, they were added to your family. I have three, and sometimes I wish there was a way in which I could have gave them away. But when they were born, they were always mine. Are you with me? You can join a club, but guess what? They can kick you out of a club. But when you are added by God, nobody can kick you out. And so we're thankful. We're thankful for the goodness of God. I got to hurry. And listen, I don't have time. So this is the worship of God. When we come together, every Lord's Day, there's preaching, there's singing, praying, communion, and there's giving. My friend, this is what the Lord's church, this is what we do. This is what the Lord Church does. Don't have time to deal with all of this. But we talk about the organization of the church. My friend, we see in the Bible that there is no earthly headquarters. Our headquarters is where our head is. And our head is Jesus Christ. And so therefore, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 1, we see where the Bible talks about those offices in the church. We have ministers and elders and deacons. Well, we see that in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 1. And now, my friend, let me just run quickly to my last point, because I want to give somebody an opportunity even tonight in regards to saying yes to Jesus Christ. In the church at Corinth, how did they become members of the church? How did they become members of that one church? You see, my friend, what I'm trying to help you to understand here tonight, very simple, is this. It's not enough just to be religious. Because you can be religious and still wrong. I'm going to show you that, Lord's will, on tomorrow night. You can be religious, yet you can be wrong. Because just because a person said they're religious, just because a person said they believe in God, just because a person said they go to church, just because a person said they read their Bible, you can do all those things and still be lost. I'm going to show you that, Lord's will, on tomorrow night. We're going to use the example in the Bible. I'm going to show you somebody who was religious, but yet he was still lost. And we'll look at that, Lord's will, tomorrow night. Now, how did they become? We're looking at the Church of Christ at Corinth. What we saw in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, we saw the name Church of God is the Church of Christ. The founder, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, the founder is Jesus Christ. We recognize that they worship. We look at their worship. They had preaching, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. They had singing and praying, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. They commune, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23 through 30. And they gave of their means, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and verse number 2. Now, my friend, having looked at those things, I wish I had time to tell you something else about worship, because, you know, some people, not y'all folk back in the United States, they believe that they could just stay home and worship. But worship was never designed for you to stay at home. Worship was designed for us to come together. That's not in my lesson, but y'all look like y'all got a few more minutes. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I just dropped this off. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 17. Look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 17. Watch what the Bible says.
Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not.
I praise you not.
That ye come together.
Don't miss this now. He said, number one, when you come, look at verse number 18. Look at verse number 18. That's a good one. Look at verse 18.
For first of all, when ye come together.
That's all I need. When you come
together.
Look at verse number 20. That's a good verse too. Verse 20 is a real good one.
When ye come together.
That's all I need. Look at verse number 33. Verse number 33 is a good one too. Verse number 33.
Wherefore my brethren. When you come together.
That's all I need. Come together. Come together four times. Alright, that's not enough. Some folks look like they still need some more scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse number 23. 1 Corinthians 14, 23.
If therefore the whole church be come together.
The whole church be come together.
Into one place.
Look at verse 26.
How is it then, brethren?
Brethren.
When you come together.
That's all I need. Now, listen, if you don't understand that we need to come together with all those come together scriptures, ain't nothing I can say to help you tonight. Worship is about us coming together. It's a coming together. I got to hurry. Listen, thank you, Brother Mitchell. Thank you, Brother Mitchell. Bless you, Brother Mitchell. How did they become members? We talked about the fact that they were in the Church of Christ. Under the one founder, they had the worship, they organized according to the Bible. How did they become members? Because whatever they did, it's the same thing that we must do if we're going to become members of the same church. What did they do? Let's look at Acts chapter 18 and verse number 8. What did the Corinthians do? What did they do to become members of the Lord's church? Acts 18 and verse number 8, the Bible says,
And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue,
believed on the Lord
with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians,
hearing
believed, and were baptized.
You all know what you have to do? You got to hear the right thing. And what you must hear is what they heard. And we talked about that in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. What they heard was the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They heard that, and they believed it. And the Bible said they believed it so much, they were baptized. Brother Pounds, does everybody have to be baptized if they want to be saved? And it's not just going in the water. I said, we talked about that this morning, that salvation requires two parts. It's not just the idea. Deliverance means to take from danger, but to deliver or to place in a safe place. Because just because you say, well, I've already been baptized. But if you have not been placed in the safe place that's designed by God, you are still not saved. Yeah, you're still not saved. And we don't mean any harm, but we got to tell you the truth. You're not saved until you're in the safe place. We looked at that this morning, Colossians 1:13, and that same place is the Lord's church. You got to be in the Lord's church. And then, but Brother Pounds, now, does everybody have to be baptized to be saved? Yes.
But that brother just read, he says, and Crispus,
the chief ruler
of the synagogue,
believed on the Lord.
Oh, hold on, Brother Pound. Now we got a problem. I hear what you said about the Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized. But the Bible says Crispus, he just believed. So Brother Pound, if Crispus just believed, then maybe I could just believe and be saved. Because that's all that Crispus did. Read that again. The Bible says, and Crispus
believed on the Lord.
He believed on the Lord
with all of his house. And many of the Corinthians.
And many of the Corinthians hearing believe, and were baptized. But Brother Powell, that Bible doesn't say that Crispus was baptized. It just says he just believed. So maybe I'm just going to stay where I am and just believe. Well, let's see what the Bible says about Crispus. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at verse number 10. Let's see if Crispus got away. Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10, the Bible says,
Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord,
by the name
Jesus
of our
Christ,
Lord Jesus Christ,
that you all speak the same thing.
The same thing.
And that there be no division.
You hear what he's saying? That we all, I wish I had time to deal with this, because he was actually talking about those in the church.
Yeah.
In the church, we ought to be all saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And religiously, everybody ought to be saying, listen, if we only have one head, everybody be saying the same thing. You see, Jesus is only head of his church. You think about this. He's the head. Jesus does not control every religious body. There's only one head. You only have one head on your body. And your head only controls what's under it. I'll give you a moment to think about it. Your head only controls what's under it. And the only thing that's under Christ, that's subject to Christ, is this church. I know that's right. Ephesians 5:24. The Bible says the church is subject to Christ. It's subject to Jesus Christ. And so therefore, my friend, to be a part of a religious body, that's not enough. You got to be under the headship of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says, I got to hurry. And the book says now, in 1 Corinthians, he said that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. Come on, sir.
But that you be perfect.
That you be completely joined together
in the
same mind,
the same judgment,
having the same judgment. Come on, read, sir.
For if it had been declared,
it had been declared to me of you, my brethren,
by them
of the household of Chloe,
that there are contentions among you.
Now this I say.
That every one of you say. I am of Paul. I am of Apollos.
I am of Paulus.
I am of Cephas. I am of Christ.
I am of Christ.
Is Christ divided?
Watch Paul now.
Was Paul crucified for you?
What are you talking about? I want to know, did Crispus get away from being baptized? And the Bible says, come on, sir.
Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized
in the name of Paul?
I thank God that I baptized none of you. But Crispus.
But I put Crispus in the water. If Crispus can't get away, you and I cannot get away. We must be baptized in order to be saved. And when you're baptized, what a joy. I'm closing tonight. What a joy it is to be baptized. If I had time to tell you, baptism, my friend, baptism, is where we have the abundant life. B, it is where you're born again. C is where you're cleansed. D, where you're delivered. E, where God elevates you. F, you become a friend of God. You are forgiven. G, you receive God's gift of grace. And H, His Holy Spirit. I, you have an intercessor. J, you have joy unspeakable. K, you experience His kindness. L, and His love. M, and His mercy. N, you become near to Christ. O, He opens up His arm. P, He pardons you. Q, He quickens you. R, He revives you. S, He saves you. T, He transforms you. U, you're united with Him. V, you have victory. W, your past is washed. X, your past is excluded. Y, you're yoked up to Christ. Z, you're on your way to Zion, but you got to go in the water. You got to go in the waters. You got to go in the waters of baptism. And my friend, follow the example of the Church of Christ at Corinth and say yes to Jesus Christ tonight.
my friend, there's no need for you to say, well, I'm just going to stay where I am. I'm just going to run on to see what the end is going to be. You know what the end is going to be. If you don't obey Jesus Christ, my friend, you're going to have a terrible end. Because you're going to be standing there. And the Lord will tell you, depart from me. I never knew you. All of those works, all the things you've done, can you imagine the Lord saying, I never knew you. But I went to church every Sunday. I was on the auxiliary board. I did all of these things. You know, the dinners I helped serve. And I was on so many different committees of my church. But Jesus says, there are going to be people who are going to be there at the judgment. And I'm going to have to sadly tell them, depart from me. I never knew you. Well, how is that, Brother Pounds? Because Jesus said they were workers of iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is a state of lawlessness. It's when you're operating outside of Jesus' jurisdiction. You have a lot of good people. And listen, we're not trying to say you're not a good person. We're not trying to say you're not a moral person. We're not trying to say you're not a sincere person. But what we are saying here tonight, that unless you do what you do under the authority of Christ, all of that labor is going to be in vain. Just like if I hired somebody to come and do work at my house, and they showed up in the neighborhood and they worked all day long. Then in the evening time came, I came home and they saw me and they said, Mr. Pounds, I'm ready to be paid. And I said, well, before I pay you, let me just look at the work that you did. And I looked at my yard and come to find out that they worked all day. But it was in my neighbor's yard. They worked in the wrong yard. Well, the question becomes, am I obligated to pay them? No. Did they do any work in my yard that I told them I would pay them? No. So I'm not obligated to pay them anything. You have a lot of good people who doing a lot of work, but is in the wrong place. I want you to be in the Lord's church tonight. I want you, you're not saying yes to me, I have nothing for you. I want you to say yes to Jesus. Because he wants to save you. He came all the way from heaven to die on the cross for your sins, that you may have an opportunity to be saved. My friend, listen, what a great tragedy this will be. For you to say no to Jesus. For you to all that he's done for you. For you to sit there and say no to him. Don't say no to him tonight. Give your life to the Lord tonight. Come on to be baptized and add it to the church you can find in your Bible. Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. It says churches because when you read chapter 16, he talked about the church that was meeting in different places. And so he identifies the congregations, but all of them were under the headship of Christ. That's why they call the Church of Christ. The Church of Asia Minor, we read about them, the seven churches. They were not seven different religions. It was the Lord's church that was meeting in seven different places. Just like I remember the Church of Christ in Florida, the Church of Christ right here in Jamaica, but it's still just one church. We meet in different places, but we're under the same head. And you cannot be under the same head unless you're doing what the head tells you to do. You come on under the headship of Jesus Christ tonight. What do I need to do, Brother Pounds? Number one, you need to hear. And that's where it all starts. You got to hear the right thing. Because you would never believe the right thing if you don't hear the right thing. A lot of preachers today jumping right over here and tell you to believe. But you need to tell them what they need to believe. What they need to believe is what they need to hear. And what you need to hear is that Jesus died for you. He was buried, but thank God he got up the third day. That's what the gospel is all about. The death, the burial, resurrection of Jesus. You've heard that tonight. Do you believe? That's the question now. Right where you're sitting, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? God made him both Lord and Christ when he raised him from the dead. Acts 2, verse 36. Right where you're sitting, are you willing to repent of your sin? Repentance means to stop. It means to turn from sin, self, and Satan. And say, now I'm going to give my life to the Lord. I'm sorry, for Lord, for the things I've done. Now it's time for me to give my life to you. Acts 17, verse number 30, time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now command all men everywhere to repent. And then, my friend, we're going to stand in just a moment. And that'll be your opportunity when we stand for you to come walking. You're going to come walking. You're going to give the preacher your hand. And that's how you're going to be giving God your heart. We're going to ask you one question. One question you find in the Bible. Acts 8:37. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you answer that in the affirmative, if you say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we're going to baptize you even tonight in water for the remission of your sins. And when you go in the water, my friend, you're going to reach the blood of Jesus. It's going to wash you. It's going to cleanse you of all of your sins. You're going to be a Christian. You're going to be a child of God. And my friend, and for the first time in your life, you're going to be in the church you can find in the Bible. Then you live faithful unto death. And the Lord promised He'll give you a crown of life that fades not away. That's what you need tonight. That's what you need tonight. If you're a member of the body of Christ and you've gone astray, you come on back home tonight. You come on back home through a process of repentance, confession, and prayer. You say, Brother Pounds, if I go up there and repent, folk going to talk about me. Well, honey, if you worry about folk talking about you, that's because they already talking about you. You don't ever worry about people talking about you. Because I come by here to tell you, people are always, one thing about people, as long as they have a slit for a mouth, they're going to talk. You don't worry about people talking. You know, when I left Florida on Saturday, I decided my first day here, I'm going to wear my black suit. Brother Mitchell, some folks may say he's trying to look like a preacher, but that's all right. I wear my black suit. I like my black suit. I'm going to wear my black suit. If I wore a colorful suit, they say, well, he's too bright to be a preacher. If I smile, I'm too friendly. I don't smile, I'm not friendly enough. If I shake your hand too hard, I'm too assertive. If I don't shake your hand hard enough, I'm not assertive enough. If I hug the sisters, I'm fresh. Hug the brothers, I'm funny. You can't please people. You will never please people. You got to make up your mind you're going to please the Lord. Make up your mind to please the Lord tonight. Sister Eugenie, that's you, honey. That's, oh, God bless you, honey. God bless you all the way from Florida. Good to see my sisters. God bless you, honey. So good to see you. And if you're here tonight, if you need prayer, you come on. You come on. You come on tonight. Because we still believe the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. God bless you. You need to be baptized. Come on. If you need repentance of your sins, come on. If you need prayer, come on. Right now, meet me down here as we get a stand. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Come on to Jesus. Come on.
572. 572.
Go ahead.